Well, hello there again. This is Tom Moulton. I will be your host. This is the second show in Jump In Tucson. And boy, am I an extremely happy and lucky person today, because we're going to talk about Old Tucson. As you learned last week, I'm the executive director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance and one of the founding members 25 years ago is Old Tucson. So I have two wonderful folks from Old Tucson. P.J. Lawton is the, I call him the really the historical guy, the guy that really knows all about Old Tucson and even wrote a book, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. And the brand new general manager, but I guess, Tony, you're probably not as brand new because you've been there for a little bit. How long have you been there now?
This will be 7 months. So
okay,
yeah.
Great. So we can still say he's new, for I think the term now is a year and a half. So yeah. So that way we're a little bit forgiving, but you don't have nothing to be worrying about, because Tony is a theme park really master and lots of experience. But we're going to talk to PJ first, because a lot of you may know that Old Tucson started out as a little movie. And PJ, you were there in 1939, weren't you?
Oh, sure.
So he has some really inside stories, probably some we can't talk about on the radio. But PJ, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became so passionate about Old Tucson.
Well, I retired from the Sheriff's Department a little over 25 years ago, and I needed a part-time job. I lived 5 minutes from the park, so I went out and applied, and I hired on as in the technical department, running shows, doing the pyrotechnics, and fixing the guns. Eventually, I started to accumulate records that were scattered all over the park, started to centralize them. Of course, as I did that, I was reading them. I got fascinated by the depth of our history. So I put it all together, and I end up all these photographs and all kinds of documents. So I just started learning more and more about Old Tucson. Then I transferred over to doing tours. And that gave me a chance to really expand my knowledge and our guest knowledge is about Old Tucson. And then eventually I've turned into strictly the historian, where I'm doing history talks and things like that.
So I've been there and done the historical tours many, many times. Did you get a chance to meet any of the movie stars that actually starred in a film at Old Tucson?
Yeah, not always as an Old Tucson employee, though, because prior to that, I also worked movies as set security off-duty with the Sheriff's Department. And I met a lot of them on those kind of movies. Kix Brooks was in a movie not too long ago. Gary Busey was one in 2000. Those are, since I've been an employee here. Adrian Barbeau was in a movie here.
I didn't know that. Of course, Brooks and Dunn not only were there, but they also went over to the Mescal movie set and right. Did probably the longest Western music video. and then they cut it up, of course, up into little different segments. But seeing those guys out, in Tucson and in particular Mescal and Old Tucson, now, we always hear about John Wayne and right. How he was an owner. Is that true?
Well, he was a stockholder.
Okay.
Owned quite a good large percentage of the stock. He was good friends with Bob Shelton, who in 1960 founded Old Tucson that we know now. And he did four movies out there. He did Real Bravo, Real Lobo, El Dorado, and McClintock. He sat on the executive board for a long time. He just really liked Old Tucson. He referred a lot of other production companies to it.
Well, there's always this story that Bob Shelton used to tell me about John Wayne and how he hated asphalt.
Oh, yeah. Shortly after Bob took over, really a dust problem. So he decided he'd pave the roads in Old Tucson to cut down on the dust. John Wayne showed up, and he took one look at it, and he had heard about one of the stuntmen having tried to go around a corner, and his horse went out from under him and injured him quite bad. So he says, if there's pavement here, I'll never make another movie here. So within just a few days, Bob had ripped it all up and got it out of there, so it's just all dirt.
Well, you know, the famous movie Tombstone, probably the next to Harry Potter, anytime you turn on the TV, you'll be able to see that movie. And we went out to Tombstone, certainly before the movie and then after the movie, and we noticed they once had an asphalt on their main street, and after Tombstone, they put dirt on top of that.
Right.
So then we could say, boy, you really want to go to see a Western, an authentic Western experience, you can go to Tombstone, because now they have dirt on the street. So whenever I hear that, I always tell the story about John Wayne and asphalt. I think one of the other famous things I heard from Bob about John Wayne was, if you want action in a Western, horses can provide that.
Yeah.
So he was an excellent horseman.
Yes.
And he also owned a ranch nearby?
Yeah, he, along with a guy by the name of Lewis Johnson, owned a big cattle stockyard up in Stanfield, Arizona, up near Maricopa. And he also owned a considerable amount of land and a ranch up in the area of Springerville.
Now, I know McClintock had a set at Old Tucson,
mm-hmm.
So that wasn't a real ranch, but was some of the scenes indoor and scene shot at his ranch?
Not that I know of.
Okay. So Old Tucson at one time had an indoor kind of a setup where they could do interiors.
Right.
And hopefully when Tony will be able to kind of share a little bit with us about the plans down the road, most likely. But with now with the infrastructure money available through the state, hopefully we're going to see, you know, bringing back kind of the where you can not only film outside, but you can film inside as well. So we're real close to a break. I am here today with two excellent Old Tucson stars, I believe, because they're the ones that are really Tony's behind the scenes, and PJ is right out there in the public. So we'll see you back here in just a few moments. Well, we're back, and I have some special guests here today. PJ Lawton, the town historian of Old Tucson, and really a special treat to have Tony Sanders, the general manager of Old Tucson. And if you listen to the first segment, you learn that he became general manager just 7 months ago. So it's not quite like he's learning on the job, because he has an extensive theme park entertainment background. So, Tony, welcome. Glad you're here. Could you talk a little bit about who you are and what prepared you for this position, especially being part of a historical entertainment and movie studio?
Sure. My background really comes from 30 years in the amusement park industry. I started working when I was 15 years old, cleaning tables, and then running rides, and then, running shops and games, and really found a passion for the industry, and I kind of just grew with the industry. So I've worked at several parks over the years, but really what prepared me for here was that leadership approach. You can take that leadership approach anywhere you go, and you get the right team and you get the right environment, and Old Tucson is that place, I think. So it's exciting to be a part of such a historical property in within the U.S. and having someone like PJ on our team to really help us bring that history out all the time is exciting. And it's something that I think my whole life I prepared for, working through the industry and having that passion. So,
and folks, he's got a great radio voice too, doesn't he? So, Tony, Old Tucson, as you know, maybe the listening audience doesn't remember this, but I moved to Tucson and met the previous owners, Helene Levy and Dana Pitt, and another gentleman named John Block. And they were the firstborn of the owners, and they were in charge of running the park. And I was at a little park called Calico Ghost Town in California. And so I would probably answer the question just much like you. There were so many theme parks and entertainment parks and aquariums and zoos that prepared me for a leadership role. And I actually applied to Old Tucson as the GM, and they turned me down the first time because they said I didn't have any experience. And I go, wait a minute, that's 40 years in the theme park and elevated. And I go, well, what do I need to do? And then, well, what I needed to do was become a GM in my in early 40s and found a position. And it was a Western theme park, Silver Mining Town, and Walter Knott had built it. So there was a lot of credibility in what he did. Passion certainly was Western heritage. And I learned how to wear the right cowboy boots when it was time, the proper time to wear a cowboy hat, not all the time. And then when I met with the Old Tucson people, I snapped about 150 digital pictures. And I remember Helene saying to me, now, why are you snapping so many pictures? I said, I'm stealing a lot of ideas today, Helene. I hope you're okay with that in case I don't get the job. Now, she didn't remember that she turned me down 5 years before that until I was hired. So having the experience is important. Now, when you reopened, there was an initial GM, and I think she did a great job. The workforce here with Hispanic culture is just somebody you want to meet and have them take care of you. And I think she did a really nice job preparing you preparing someone coming in, you know. She did leave and got a nice job at one of our big tourism facilities here, and we're so happy for her. But I think she left you in pretty good shape as a number two guy coming in.
Yeah, I can appreciate everything that in her tenure and time that she did to prepare us, the park for where it is. And now it's just time to move forward with what we started.
Right.
And, she started and what we're going to move forward with, so...
We're not hiding her name. Her name's Kiki, and Kiki was an EG person and did a lot of restaurant HR work. And Canyon Ranch is very happy to have her as their HR manager. Now, coming to work for Historical Park, what used to be a year-round park had to be a little bit different because typical theme parks, they're seasonal. And then they throw in special events, and they're still open, but then they have an added value.
Sure.
So American Heritage Railways came on board and won the bid from Pima County, and with overwhelming support of making sure it's a Western Heritage theme park, and you're true to that. Okay, you're absolutely been true to that. Just say a few, if you could say just a couple words about your parent company and how important Western Heritage is to them.
Sure. American Heritage is the premier, what I call a tour, train, rail operator in the U.S. And their dedication to history, heritage, entertainment, and preserving that is what has made them so successful. Now that they are a part of the Old Tucson story, they've brought that to Old Tucson as well, to keep Old Tucson that historic and classic attraction that has delighted people for, you know, what, since 1950, somewhere in there, 1950s, 60s. So it's amazing what has happened, but now we feel like we have a torch, and we're carrying that torch forward through the American Heritage team, but specifically the team here at Old Tucson that's been hired and brought in. So,
I think it was really important that you answered the comments from the public when they said, after after COVID, it was time to reopen, that we don't want you to turn this into a amusement park. We don't want you to turn this into a water park. We don't want you to plow this thing under. All of those came up. But what came up probably, you know, I wish I remember the number, but it was overwhelming majority said, we love Old Tucson. Bring it back. Now, that gets a lot of pressure on you as the new GM.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, so, and you opened up last year in January with all new Western experiences and everything, and you're about ready to open here again this weekend.
Correct.
And how's it going? Are you ready to go?
We're ready to roll. January 20th is opening day. That's this coming Saturday. We're excited to open the doors back up for a Western experience. And this year's Western experience is a little different. We have phrased it as we're presenting legends of the Wild West. And those legends are real life people who lived in the Old West that our characters will perform as. So if you want to meet Calamity Jane, or you want to meet Wyatt Earp, or you want to meet Wild Bill Hickok, whoever you want to meet, come out, because we're bringing those legends to life. They're a part of our shows. They're going to be around town. You might even play a poker game with one of them. So it's going to be a little bit different approach to this.
You know, when we work in an entertainment business, we also go around and we visit other parks.
Sure.
And we like to, you know, steal ideas. One of the things that after I left Old Tucson to become really pretty much your landlord or be your liaison at Pima County, we kept having lots of conversations about how can Old Tucson become more authentic. Now, being associated with the movies was great. But when a character was depicted in a show, they were always third party. They weren't what we in the industry called first party. So it sounds like when you meet Calamity Jane, or you meet somebody running a wagon train,
yeah,
okay, that's the person.
That's the person. We are bringing to life those legends. And you can be a legend, too. And you can meet legends like PJ, who's going to give you a lot of history and a lot of really details about different things at the park, and especially through our museum and what we call maybe live immersive talks. We're excited to bring this for this year. And we're going to have many shows that we've added, and you're still going to have the rides, the attractions, the food, the retail. It's all there. But now it's just really immersed. So.
Yeah, going into the commercial, I PJ, you're going to be back up again to talk a little bit about Bob Shelton, about what he brought to the really active movie studio running by the Tucson JCs?
JCs.
And there was an article recently on KGUN9 talked about the first mayor of that helped the movies come along. So we might want to mention him just a little bit, since Kay Gunn was very passionate about honoring him as the first mayor. Now, I suspect that some people might say the GM is the new mayor. So make sure you talk to your sign department about that, because I have a sign somewhere sitting in the back saying Tom Moulton, the mayor. And what's a great thing about, we often met with the real mayor of Tucson, Bob Walkup, when we have special things that were going on at the park. So it was kind of fun to play the mayor. And then I was in the Tucson Rodeo Parade, and I played the mayor as well. So that's probably, I should put that on my resume, but probably might be a stretch.
This year, we're going to choose an honorary mayor every single day.
All right. So we'll be back in just a few moments. With PJ and we're back again with our special guests from Old Tucson. Before we get back with them, we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening tomorrow with my boss, Dr. Ed Ackerley. As we mentioned, Monday through Friday, there's a different show with a different person behind the mic, and we're talking to community leaders that really make Tucson special. On Friday, Dr. Ackerley will have probably one of the most historical persons that I know, because he wrote the book on Dude Ranches. And his name is Russell True. And you might know Russell from his family operating the White Stallion Guest Ranch. Yeah, it's okay to still call it a Dude Ranch, because that's what he wrote the book on. Now, what's happened with Russell and his family, they also weren't happy with running just one Dude Ranch, so let's run three. So in addition to running that, Russell runs a Monument Ranch in Tombstone, and he runs a wonderful right next to Sashi, and that's real close to the Mexican border, Rancho de la Osa. So that's three ranches he runs here in southern Arizona. So that will be an exciting interview, because he's also going to tell you about a new management contract near Yellowstone Park. So he's running another Dude Ranch, but not in Tucson. It's a great thing whenever you go to a silent auction, because you have a choice of choosing one of those four. And usually there are 2 or 3 days for the southern Arizona, but it's 7 days at this ranch near Yellowstone Park. So that'll be an exciting interview. Well, we're here again with Tony Sanders and PJ Lawton. The general manager started about 7 months ago, and he wasn't around when last year the new Western Experiences started back up in the winter, and it was very successful. They had two events prior to that, and Tony, can you talk a little bit about Western Experiences? While it's going to be different, and it's going to have my favorite first-person characters in there, you've had at least two events to get your feet wet and prepare you for Western Experiences.
Yeah, that's correct. When I arrived, we actually had three. We threw a concert series out during the summer.
Right.
And then we followed that up with, Arizona's favorite Halloween event, Nightfall. And then we followed that up with our second annual Yuletide event, our Christmas and holiday celebration event. And those were very successful events. And we really put a lot of effort into bringing, again, immersive storyline with a lot of entertainment value into it.
And you brought back two of my favorite characters, Jeremiah Hyde and Santa Claus.
Yes, yes.
And what is true, then, again, the nature of being a Western Heritage Park, all of these were set in Western times.
Sure. Everything we do is based around our location and time period. Our stories will always be based on that. At this point, we don't see a modern era turn for Nightfall or Christmas. We want to keep it period specific. And even like this, this year with Yuletide, or this past year with Yuletide, you came to Old Tucson, but you really came to the West Pole, the home of the Clauses and the St. Clouds. And you were at the West Pole enjoying the West Pole environment. So, and there was a whole story behind the West Pole. So.
Well, wow, that's fantastic. I mean, back prior to that, to the devastating fire in 1995, Old Tucson had to be rebuilt, at least 60% of it or so. And we had what I would call non-Western characters. I remember getting the direction from management, we need to bring in some topical characters. So clearly the Care Bears and Spider-Man. Well, we're a stretch. But our wonderful wardrobe department run by Renee, if I recall correctly.
Still there.
She's back, I understand,
yeah, yes.
And she's just a wonderful lady and very talented, and also works for another theater here in town, so she gets to share her talent,
yeah.
And that's wonderful that both two Tonys, Tony is her boss there, and the Tony's here, but he makes better pizza than you probably.
Probably so, yeah.
But I think we let Spider-Man and the Care Bears wear a cowboy hat at least. It's hard to get boots on those characters, but it's really good to see and hear that you're true to your, really, quite frankly, your boss's family passion for Western heritage. Now, are you going to bring back a train again?
Possibly. Okay. We'll talk about that down the road, yeah.
That was the one question I asked your entertainment director when we were on the radio a while back, and he, I mean, you know, since you have a lot of railroads, a lot of assets, and it was a darn shame that they let Reno go, and but it's for the good. They're gonna have it operating again, and maybe Tony, it makes you know, a lot of museums will share, you know, museum items for special, so maybe a celebration of Joe Kidd or some other wonderful movie that featured the Reno. Don Wayne, I think, had a lot of shots with the Reno in the background and cattle.
Sure.
And Joe ran the Reno through, I can't remember if it was a saloon or whatever it was, but that was probably pretty exciting when the movie folks in their script said, and Joe Kidd will run the Reno through the town of Old Tucson. It was probably a facade, but it was pretty dramatic. But that movie, that train, we're going to ask PJ a little bit about that, but that it came over from MGM Studios. So lots and lots of movies featured the Reno. But let's talk, got a few more minutes here on this segment. Exactly what's going on there?
Sure. So 2024 is going to be a big year. We are operating a Western Experience 20 more days than we did last year. So we're operating total 84 days. So we have a Western Experience happening, and that starts this Saturday, January 20th. We open every day for Western Experience at 10:30, and we close at 5. We also have historical tours when we're not open. We have historical tours. We also introduced ghost tours last year. We have those. A schedule is on our website. You can see all those activities. And then, of course, we're going to bring back Nightfall, scarier than ever, and Yuletide, more holiday spirit than ever come Christmas time. So we're doing a lot this year for all the activities and events we have happening.
Now, I have to give some credit where credit is due, and I know it was a big part of your press conference for Nightfall. You brought something back that the public demanded that you bring back, and you answered it.
That's correct. We listened to what our guests said from 2022, and we said, well, what should we do? Where did we go wrong, right? So they told us, and we listened, and they wanted certain things. One of those was turkey legs. So we brought back the turkey legs.
At a very good price. Good price.
They wanted free parking. You know what? So we said, fine, we're going to give you free parking too, because we think it's the right thing to do. And then bringing back characters in the history of Nightfall, it was just a part of what we should do. And they really wanted the scares back. And we did. We brought them back in full force. So, yes, it was an exciting year.
Nothing scarier than Dr. Hyde, that's for sure. But you've also brought back some character named Crazy something, wasn't it?
Crazy Sam. I had not known who this Crazy Sam character was, but when I got here and they told me, I was like, yes, let's bring back Crazy Sam. So,
well, let me just talk just briefly about the quality of the actors that you have brought back. You know, in 1997, when I came to Tucson to be the GM, they were trying to do something differently, and they hired 18 professional actors. And the storyline was carried through from opening to close. So if you were the marshal, you were the marshal for the entire time the park is open each day. And they brought, you know, some traditional characters, a town drunk who walked around town with a mule named Levi. I remember that. Fortunately, Levi isn't with us anymore. And several other characters, Mayor and Dance Hall, Teresa was her real name, but Diamond Lil. Well. And they gave them all little baseball cards. Oh. And I just heard yesterday that one of the Tom Brady's football, but it was a baseball card type, you know, top with a bubble gum and everything, sold for, what was it, $150,000. You know, so somewhere there's an autograph, kind of miniature baseball card with Diamond Lil's signature. And she was a very talented, play the madam of the park. So some of the characters were really true to at least what the movies of the world felt that every town has a character like this, okay? The good thing is, the point I was trying to make is those were professional actors. Now, over the years, you know, there was a lot of training going on, a lot of U of A students and so on and so forth. And you know, sometimes you could tell somebody's learning how to sing when they're in a singing role. Well, that's all done with now. Your actors are professional. They are talented. They're part of the planning of it. You have a full-time entertainment director there that's housed here, not working. You know, he works for corporate, but he's here. All the management is local. They have homes here, families here. And I really, really have appreciated watching the shows and, you know, seeing the talent. No pitch controls, you know, in the saloon. You just, and they can dance too. It's hard. And what we call in the industry a triple threat. So there's definitely a town full of triple threats, and I'm looking forward to certainly meeting these characters because we know the movie version. PJ probably knows the biographical version. So sometimes they're close, right, PJ?
Yeah.
And sometimes they're not. So I'll have to ask PJ if he's giving you any influence on, are they the Hollywood characters or are they the biographical real characters, or is there somewhere in the middle? Because I think legends are fact.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to kind of, you know, make sure that you don't introduce a character that we know from the movie, like Billy the Kid, and who shot Billy the Kid. You know, you want to make sure, you know, the characters are true to both the book and the legend. So that's I'm PJ, that's a big job to give this, to be the conscience of the general manager. But, it clearly is a wonderful opportunity to meet some of these characters that we really only know from
books or shows.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we're going to be back in just a few moments. The guy behind the window here is going to play you a few more commercials, and then we're going to wrap up this segment and talk a little bit to both of them again. So we'll be back with Tony. Well, welcome back. We're here at Jump In Tucson. My name's Tom Moulton. We're talking to two wonderful folks from Old Tucson, Tony Sanders and PJ Lawton. In previous segments, full disclosure, mentioned that I had the pleasure of being the GM from 1997 to 2000, and in 2001, I joined as the Pima County liaison, so I got a chance for another 14 years to play cowboy, and I have my boots, and I have my white hat, and I have my black hat, depending on the mood that I was in for the day, and in the management of Old Tucson has been so friendly to us past general managers. They don't always take our ideas, but they listen. That's the most important thing. And, you know, things are a little bit different. But what's true is portraying Old Tucson, why it was built. It was built to replicate Old Tucson, or the Tucson, in the 1880s, I'm sorry, even before that, 1860s, during the Civil War. Was it built, Arizona, always during the Civil War?
The original movie, Arizona, which they built the set for, took place in the 1860s.
Okay. Yeah, and it was a wonderful movie with William Holden and
Gene Arthur.
That's right. Big stars at the time.
Yeah.
And the entire town was built by Tono Autumn Craftsman?
Well, they did the brickwork. There were other people came in for the carpentry work and laying the water lines and things like that.
And when I got there, some of the buildings were in the state of decay. We were able to bring some of them back. John Wayne's Harness Shop is one of the originals. The Tack Shop was the first one we actually put a roof over and tied in the stucco walls, and we had to go and search for the original stucco or the dirt and how it was manufactured. And because we were back into that, we mentioned how could Old Tucson become more authentic, you know. And but probably the most well-known building is the High Chaparral building.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about how important that TV show was to Old Tucson's success.
Well, it was a groundbreaking production. Up until that time, whenever you did a movie in Tucson, you went back to Hollywood to do all the soundstage work. Well, during High Chaparral, they built the soundstage specifically for the show and also be used otherwise. So we got our soundstage because of that, and that brought up the amount of movies made there greatly.
Now, soundstage is maybe in the plans, Tony?
Maybe. We are exploring those options as well as creating a whole new set on property.
Kansas
well.
Street again, perhaps?
Perhaps. Whatever we want to make it, but something that, you know, that director comes in and they want a town they're going in and a town they're leaving. We want to give them both. So
certainly Old Tucson's rebuild was supposed to be done in three phases. And we were preparing for the second phase, if I recall correctly, and 9/11 hit. And that was, obviously, we had no idea how long the shutdown was going to take place. And certainly, COVID, we had no idea it was going to be shut down as long as that was as well. But everything that's a negative can turn into a positive. And that's exactly what American Heritage Railways and Pima County.
Sure.
And the residents, because Old Tucson exists to benefit the public. And being owned by Pima County, where they didn't sell off their attractions. They maintain ownership and just hired some wonderful people to operate them. And we used to call them lease properties. And they're one, you know, and they were all run in that it's the management company, they're the operator.
Yeah.
When I was the leased asset property manager, I was just there to enhance, give them some ideas, and it was additionally marketing, and then it was in operations and revenue sharing and everything. But Pima County's Department of Tourism and Attraction still remains, and they're there to support you, and they're doing a wonderful job, helping you along, but being sure that you're true to your Western Heritage.
We have a great relationship.
Mission. So I wanted to thank PJ, a wonderful historian. Glad you're going to be there. You're going to be doing some of your first-person storytelling that's going on.
Yes, I'm going to be doing living history. I'll be doing Chuck Wagon, Sheriff's, General Store, and Saloons.
Wonderful. Tomorrow, Ed Ackerley here with Russell True. I'll be back next Thursday with a Reed Park Zoo, folks. So thanks again for listening to my second show, and I will be back in just 1 week. Thanks again to our guest, and good luck on January 20th.